Matzia, the Rebbe proposes al dvar hisyastos chevras noshim, to make a women's organization, le'eded al dvar shmiras taz ha-mishpacha, to encourage people to keep taz ha-mishpacha. This is what we call common sense. It's a woman's mitzvah. It should be run by women as opposed to rabbis. The Rebbe wanted women to lead the initiative in taz ha-mishpacha. Oisek, the Rebbe engages b'dvar hatzolos yaldei poras, in saving children from Iran, from Persia. V'histadrusam b'artzeis harvoch. I'm reading Tovshin Lamites.
It sounds like you said two different things.
V'histadrusam b'artzeis harvoch. I remember the story well. I was just turned bar mitzvah. The story was that a few American boys, Lubavitcher Bochrim, went to Iran from what's called Merkesh Lichas. And it was just a regular Merkesh Lichas. There's a Lubavitcher younger man, an Iranian named Hetzel Lulian, who was a product of that Merkesh Lichas. He came back and learned from 770. In 1979, there was the revolution in Iran. I don't know if you know the history, but I remember it well. Iran was run by a Shah. It was a modern country. It was a Western country. Had very good relationships with America. Even had good relationships with Israel. And this Khomeini, this Ayatollah, this fanatic, came back to the country. And the country became very militant, very religious, very anti-America, very anti-Israel, very anti-Jew. And there was a sakana. Nobody knew what the future would be. There's 25,000 Iranian Jews now still living in Iran. And depending on who you ask, you speak to two Iranians, you'll get 180-degree opposite stories. One person says, oh, it's perfectly fine. Other person says, we're hostages and we cannot leave. But at that time, there was a huge panic. And because of this connection that the Rebbe had from these two mega shlichas, they brought over 1,000 Iranian boys and girls, teenagers, out of Iran, and they moved into Crown Heights. It was quite a year.
What year was this?
1979, 1980. Many of these Iranians came from very wealthy homes. They were used to living in the lap of luxury. And now they were living in people's homes. Everybody in Crown Heights had at least one Iranian. It was just, you know, if you lived in Crown Heights, you had to host an Iranian. They stayed in their house, sometimes for months, sometimes for years. Eventually, they left Crown Heights and they found relatives all over across America and so forth. I would say that the majority of these Iranians have lost their connection to Lubavitch, although Lubavitch literally saved them. But many of them are Pashut Lubavitchers. There were certain families that made the Iranians their project. And scores, literally, many, many Iranian like the Pashut Shluchim Lubavitchers as a product, as a result of this event. But they lived in Crown Heights for a considerable period of time. The part of the story which is interesting was, all of a sudden, the Rebbe needed somebody to be responsible for over 1,000 boys and girls, to feed them, clothe them, house them, teach them, and keep them happy. Who did the Rebbe give the job to? The same person the Rebbe gave all the impossible tasks to, Rabbi J.J. Hecht. Not that Rabbi Hecht didn't have enough problems without it. All of a sudden, he needed to raise money, and it was such a difficult thing, because they really didn't like Crown Heights, for a million reasons. None of them were Haredi frum. Even those who were frum were much more modern frum. And they were wealthy, and they were not used
to
being...
Did they want
to
leave?
They were very happy to leave, yes. Because they were afraid for their lives. Nobody knew what was going to happen tomorrow, you know. As it turned out, Baruch Hashem, so far, the Iranians have not attacked their Jews. But they certainly are anti-Semites. And they're certainly crazy. And they're certainly unpredictable.
But if people were Crown Heights, they wouldn't have a place to go?
They needed to be brought out. Somehow the Rebbe got them out, I don't know how. And they, once they were brought out, they'd have a place to go to, right? When I was in yeshiva in California, there were maybe a dozen Iranians. From that dozen, I would say probably half are still connected to Lubavitch. And now the other half, probably half, are frum. I was once traveling someplace. I ended up in a favor for a derful in Maryland. And this man walks up and tells me, hello, Yossi. I said, I don't know who you are. We were camped together in Tovshin Lamites in 1970. He recognized me. I had no idea who he was. I didn't remember his name. Of course, I was very friendly and very happy that he remembered me in a good light. It could have been worse. But it was, Crown Heights was invaded. They used to come to the Fabrengens, and there were like rows and rows of Iranian children. And the Rebbe used to ask them to sing. They used to sing a Persian song, Yigdal. It's one of those things that really, Crown Heights was an unusual place for that year. There was no such thing as a Lubavitcher family of Crown Heights that did not at least have one Iranian.
Would they try to keep siblings together? Or
they did what they could under the circumstances. But They wouldn't.
It only was 1 year, and then after the
they started moving to save their lives. Moira shall they levazves kesef benisias l'simchis krevim. The Rebbe vociferously speaks out about people spending money to travel to the weddings of relatives. I want you to know this is one of those things that, based on later notes of the Rebbe, times are different. The Rebbe wrote explicitly to somebody, Nishtano Ha'itim. It's a different time. The Rebbe spoke very passionately about the idea of people spending money to travel to weddings of brothers and sisters when they couldn't afford it. B'chlal, the Rebbe was not into spending money, especially spending money you did not have. Years ago, the Rebbe used to protest pictures at weddings, and the whole extravagance of American weddings in the 50s and the 60s, Lubavitcher Hasidim could ill afford it. I mean, they can't afford it now. Then it was literally breaking the bank. And the Rebbe would say, why are people spending money that they don't have on these kinds of things? And I know the person, he told me himself, that the Rebbe, this sikha was said directly to him. He asked the Rebbe, going to a brother's wedding, and the Rebbe said, what kind of nonsense is this? Miyased koil levrechem in Melbourne, Australia. The Rebbe starts a koil in Melbourne. That koil still exists to this day. And many of the best young light in Lubavitch have learned there. Yoitze b'koil koire, the Rebbe makes a declaration, al dvar he'sofo, about increasing, b'limer dateiru, n'asina satztaka, b'tor achon lamat n'teiru, before Shavuos, people should learn extra and give tzedakah. And this, girls, is very interesting, mechalek sidir tzedakah liyaldi yaldiz b'nei Yisrael. The Rebbe gave a little pocket sidir to all boys and girls on the bar and bas mitzvah. I was just 13. And I don't have that siddur, but I stole my wife's when I got married. She's younger than I am. The Rebbe, Erev Shavuos, the Rebbe gives pictures of it. The Rebbe gives little pockets of siddur to every child. They came with a letter from the Rebbe that was made into a sticker that they stuck on the inside of the siddur. You have, I guess, I mean, you're too young to have these siddur. If you have older brothers or sisters-in-law or brothers-in-law. It was a very special thing the Rebbe gave only the children. Each child got it from the Rebbe in the hand. The Rebbe gave the children siddurim. There's a lot of pictures up. Poina lirufui machlas hanefesh. The Rebbe turns to psychologists and psychiatrists. Sheyeshlim yudiyasei mitvar tibul meditatze. They should study, they should research meditation as a medical remedy. Ubeifan amuta dafka, that it should be permitted al pi halacha. Vayidei zeyihi, this will bring teyelis, benefit. La'alfa yehudim, to thousands of Jews. Hanitzrocha mutru v'teilu, who need these remedies. Shela is ata, that under the current conditions, toyim bedrocha machena, people are going their own ways in pursuing meditation. Va'ad abizrayad avedizora, some of these techniques of meditation are avedizora. Ubiyadim, if they'll know, sheyesh trufes elu beifin akasha, that they can find these remedies in a kosher way. Yivaku etzol eifin elu, they'll visit these doctors. I gave the seminary two girls a whole class on this, so you're not going to get it. The essence of it was that the 1970s was the decade of the cults. Right? The 60s was revolution to the cults. There were a million cults. And unfortunately, these cults, in many, many ways, brought a lot of tragedy to a lot of people. One of the cults, which was very popular in the late 70s, was Maharishi, I think his name was. This guy came from India, and he opened up a big center in Manhattan, and he practiced what's called TM, Transcendental Meditation, and he swept America like a fever. It was a contagion. Everybody was practicing TM, Transcendental Meditation. The Rebbe spoke about it, Yubis Tamas, a very long sikh. And the Rebbe explained what was going on, that so many Yidden were involved in TM, and the techniques of TM, and the way meditation is done is that you do a mantra, you say like a passage. There was Aveda Zora, it's Poshet Osor. But the Rebbe said you have to separate the good from the bad. Meditation itself is not a bad thing. The way the meditation was being practiced was not good. And the Rebbe said, instead of turning your back on it, or instead of doing what all Rabbonim typically do, just make a big speech and say, it's not allowed, it's an Aveda, and don't do it because you'll go to Gehenna. The Rebbe said, let's find a way of separating the good from the bad, to take out the technique of meditation, isolate it from any kind of Aveda Zara, provide Jewish people with an alternative. But the Rebbe had a number of conditions that he set. And one of them was that Rebbe did not believe that meditation is a way of serving Hashem, or even a way of life. Meditation is good for people who have mental illness and stress, who need to relax. And the Rebbe saw this endeavor, what's called Jewish meditation, as a refuah, as a way of healing people's psyches and souls. And there was a man named Landis, you heard of Landis, psychiatrist, who lived in San Francisco, that the Rebbe put in charge of this effort, and a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists and rabbis and lay people, by no means all Lubavitchers were involved in what was called then Jewish meditation. I know several Lubavitcher people who were involved. One of them said to me that he joined as a psychologist, but he left. I said, why did you leave? He said, because they were not listening to the Rebbe. The Rebbe wanted it should be just for the food, just for medicine, and people were using meditation for all kinds of other reasons. I heard all kinds of things about it. Bottom line is, the Rebbe got involved in this Jewish meditation. So there's a woman who said to me that she was involved in meditation. And as soon as the Rebbe started talking about Jewish meditation, the interest in America in TM died. Her words to me were, the Rebbe killed the klipa. That's how she put it. Now, I'm not going to tell you who this woman is, but this woman is not the Geschwitz. She's not one of those blind Lubavitchers, you know, that the Rebbe creates the world every morning. She said it from her experience. Everybody in America was interested in TM, and it was a avodah zarah. She said to me, it wasn't that the Rebbe only found an alternative. The Rebbe's involving himself in meditation took away the whole passion, the whole fever, the whole contagion that our society had towards this Eastern practice. And this is a classic example of the Rebbe not keeping his head in the sand or in the clouds. There's a situation in the world. Don't just say kosher or teif. Modify it. Do what you have to do. Make it as good as possible to help as many people as you can. Tov Shin Mem, 1980. This was a campaign that the Rebbe talked about for years. The idea that Veheshev Lovas Albonim means that, first of all, it means that parents and children should come back to tshuva together. But the Gemara says, the Chazal say, al yedei bonim, that children should bring their parents back. This, Veheshev Lovas Albonim, is, so to speak, the precursor to Tzivas Hashem. The idea that children should take initiatives in caring about Yiddishkeit. And the Rebbe talked about this often. Miyasev Yeshiva Gedel Buenos Aires, Argentina. The Rebbe made Yeshiva in Argentina, which still exists, by the way. The Rebbe says, this year, Lag BaEmer parade should be all over the world. The tradition, of course, in Lubavitch was there was always a Lag BaEmer parade when Lag BaEmer was on Sunday. The Rebbe said, let's not limit it to Crown Heights, let's make it all over the world. At this parade, something very unusual occurred, if I'm not wrong. I think it was this parade. I wasn't in New York at the time, but this is my recollection. It was unbelievably hot. Unbelievably hot, and there were so many children. And then we spoke a sicha, and then we spoke a second sicha, and Rabbi Hecht has to translate. And Rabbi Hecht says, children, just a few more minutes. The Rebbe knows how hot it is, and he's not going to make us sit. And the Rebbe talked for 45 minutes in Russian. No one understood a word. It was 45 minutes in Russian, loud. And of course, the one good part of that was that Rabbi Hecht didn't translate. But by the time the Rebbe was finished, people were dripping. Why in Russian? First of all, for the record, the Rebbe doesn't consult me on what he does and how he does things. The Rebbe is a Rebbe. Everything the Rebbe does, you know, like the Friedrich Rebbe once said, happens lamayla lamata. The Rebbe felt this was an opportunity. This was outside 770 on the street. The Rebbe was talking to the Russian government. It was a statement about Russia. And the fact of the matter is that in the 80s, Russia changed, right? It became easier and easier and easier to teach Jewish children. A long sicha about how the Russian government does not prohibit teaching children Torah as long as they're within certain restrictions. 45 minutes. This is after 2 hours of talking in Yiddish and Rabbi Hecht translating into English. You know, there's a famous... we went to Russia many years later. We took along the video of the Rebbe speaking and we put it on for the people. In those days, it was a video camera with a, you know, with a whole fancy, today it's a CD, you know, or a little memory thing. And 45 minutes in Russian. But I remember how hot it was. But the Rebbe does what he has to do. Now, Mo'oyedesh, the Rebbe encourages Sheyaldei and Yaldes Yisrael, that boys and girls that are Jewish, Afilu Taf Mamish, newborns Mamish, Yovayu Labeit Natesim Chagashvuah, should come to Shul on Shavuos. It's Erev Shavuos. It's important to understand this. The Rebbe says, bring mamish putot, newborns, to show for Seres Adibis. Why? Because when the Eibush got to Har Sinai, he didn't invite a group of rabbis. When the Eibush got to Har Sinai, he did not invite adult, male or female. The Eibush gave the Torah to every single Jew, including to newborns. And the Rebbe said every year on Shavuos, what the Eibishter does is give the Torah on such a level where he doesn't separate between big people and little people. A newborn baby stands at Har Sinai, gets the Torah from Hashem, doesn't understand a single word. But what he's getting is what we call in our culture, the elokus, the godliness of Torah, belongs to every single Jew. And the Rebbe therefore made a very powerful campaign that every child should come to shul for Kriyas HaTorah on the first day Shavuos to receive that gift again. Not that he's going to go home and learn a chumash, but to receive the elokus, the godliness of Torah. There's another mitzvah which is similar to this, but there are not many mitzvahs like this, and that's the mitzvah of Hakel. Hakel also was that they brought mamish babies, newborns. And the Rebbe made this campaign in Tav Shemem, and it's one of those campaigns that endures Adayim Azeh. Yaitse Bekriya, the Rebbe goes out with a very strong cry, Alvar Inya the Piri Vidivi, about having a lot of children, Umarish Neged Tichnun Mishpacha V'chulu, family planning. They were very against the idea of people deciding how many children they're going to have and when they can afford them and things like this. The Rebbe felt that the Eibishter knows how many children to give each one of us and people should not make such cheshbonos. And what happened in Crown Heights was old ladies started having babies. Grandmothers had children, mamish. After the Sicha, there was a whole generation of children born to women who were already grandparents. I have a brother who's born on my 20th birthday. It took my mother a long time to have that child, but a lot of women were gebenched because of this Sicha. Yoitzei bekriya, the Rebbe goes out with a call, liyaset kailalim, zkenim, zkenim, zatinim, to make kailalim for old men and women, and for also for young people who are not in yeshiva. La'anoshim, it should be called Kel Tiferes Zekenim Levi Yitzchak. For women, it should be called Kel Tiferes Chachmas Noshim Beizal. And for young boys, it should be called Kel Tiferes Bachurim. Matzia, the Rebbe proposes, I'm holding girls on page 27. Right near the end of Tav Shin Mem, she is Sadru, Mizman, Lizman, Kinusim, to arrange periodically Kinusim, rallies. Shall b'nei b'nei Yisrael of young boys and girls, shall b'nei gil bar bas mitzvah before the age of the girls. This is the beginning of Tzivos Hashem. The Rebbe had made what he called a pilot program, I think it was Pesach Tov Shin Mem, to see how children would react to the idea of doing mitzvahs based on a merit system, where you get points and you can raise in rank and so forth. The Rebbe was now, in the summer of Tov Shin Mem, Elul, introducing Tzivos Hashem. It began by the Rebbe proposing to make a number of rallies. And I'll show you the sichas inside. Tov Shin Mem Aleph, Mo'oyer, the Rebbe points out, Shashonash Nas Hakel, this is the year of Hakel, Esa Anashim Va'anashim Va'atav Ha'gem, and last Gulivate Razesh. The same theme as the previous Shuas, Hakel is not for people who understand the Torah. Hakel is even for babies. Because the event of Hakel was, like the Rambam describes it, the king got up on a stage, and he was Shliach Hakel. He represented the Eibishter. And when he said the Kriyas HaTorah that he read Hakel, he was giving the Torah to the Yidden again once in 7 years. Babies belong there. Now, Tov Shin Mem Aleph was probably the busiest Tishrei in Lubavitch. Because the Tov Shin Mem Aleph people came, not in the thousands, but in their families. Crown Heights was overrun with people. Just an incredible number of people. Mem Ches, people pushed, didn't come because they remembered that 7 years before, they couldn't find a place to sleep. But Crown Heights was overrun. There were so many guests here. People came, men, women, and children. Tov Shin Mem Hakel was a packed Tishrei. And there were many very special things that happened that Tishrei. And one of the most notable was this. The Rebbe had made Tzivos Hashem, which is the topic at hand for us. Tzivos Hashem was officially made Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So on Shmini Atzeres, the Rebbe said that he wanted that the fifth Hakafah should be given to Tzivos Hashem with their Malamdim. The fifth Hakafah should be Tzivos Hashem with their Malamdim. So all the kids were sent from all over the shul, the teachers came, and the Rebbe turned around and said, Amma Malamed also. And the Rebbe went, Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, the fifth Hakafah with the kids. That beautiful Hakafah turned into an event of pandemonium. It's a nest that all the children who went there came back alive in one piece. But the Rebbe wanted to dance with the children. The Rebbe always got the first Hakafah and the last Hakafah. Tov Shin Mem Aleph, the Rebbe said, the teachers should go with the children to the fifth Hakafah. What?
The children and the teachers?
No. Most teachers understood that it's okay if they stayed where they were. I mean, the kids were flying and the Rebbe was there, so push in, push out, you know. It worked out. Everybody's still alive, Baruch Hashem, which is a big nest. But that was a very special sight. And I remember where I stood. and I watched the Rebbe go into that coffin with the children. And I believe the Rashag wasn't there that year. The Rashag had his stroke, so the Rebbe danced alone. When the Rebbe danced alone in Hakafas, it was a very different experience than when the Rebbe danced with his brother-in-law, because the Rebbe danced with the Rashag. The Hakafas was very short, because the Rashag would get dizzy, because he looked up at the ceiling. When the Rebbe danced alone, the Rebbe's dance would go on for a very long time. And this particular year, the Rebbe took 3 Hakafas. Next, Poinei Bikriya. The Rebbe turns with a calling, Liyaldi and Yaldasol to Jewish boys and girls. To organize in an organization called Tzivas Hashem, B'sismas, we want Mashiach now. If you'll turn the page quickly, you'll see it says Me'eder al Varashtatos Miuchedas Bazeb and Egeil Yaldim and Yaldas and Son Achedim Azchabazo, that they should make in an appropriate way Tzivas Hashem even in Russia. Tzivas Hashem is a very important campaign of the Rebbe's. And Tzivas Hashem is, you know, one of the most important organizations in Crown Heights. But the vision that the Rebbe had for Tzivas Hashem is very, very interesting. Now, this staff is very big. The reason it's very big is we have a very, very long sikha. The first sikha that the Rebbe said to Tzivas Hashem, I printed here in its entirety. It's whatever it is. It's a lot of pages. It's 15 pages. We're going to do little bits and pieces of this Sikha. Well, I'm going to do something very, very backwards. I want you to turn to the back of the stack, which means to page 22. Okay? The Rebbe made an organization that's called the Army of Hashem. Now, when the Rebbe made the Army of Hashem, the Rebbe was involved in every little detail. You know, they made the Tzivat Hashem emblem. The Rebbe made comments on how the emblem looked. Every little detail Tzivas Hashem never oversaw. One of the things that Rebbe was very, very careful about is that any official thing that Tzivas Hashem puts out should have both a boy and a girl. There should never be only boys or only girls. Rebbe was very sensitive to these kinds of things. You can ask Rabbi Pape, he'll be happy to tell you how involved in the tiny little minutiae of every single publication that Rebbe was of Tzivas Hashem. But when Rebbe made the Army of Hashem, naturally he was criticized. What was the criticism? Armies are for killing. And why would the Rebbe create an organization for children that has a name like army? And this principal, who was also a psychologist, wrote the Rebbe a letter. And the Rebbe answered him. This letter, girls, is a window into the Rebbe's mind. First of all, why he made Tzivas Hashem. Second of all, what he wants from Tzivas Hashem. And third of all, this is also important, how the Rebbe sees us, American people, even if we're past Bar and Bas Mitzvah, we have the same issues. This man criticized, objected to Tzivas Hashem, and the Rebbe responds. So look where I am reading, okay, on page 22. To begin with, Tzivas Hashem, as you surely know, is not a foreign idea. It is mentioned first in Torah, in reference to God's hosts who were liberated from Egypt, right? The Mitzrayim Yidden were called Tzivas Hashem. Next paragraph. Of course, the Torah does not glorify militarism, war, and the like. On the contrary, its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its pathways are peace. The Rebbe said, I never made Tzivas Hashem to the children to say, pow, pow, you're dead. That wasn't the point. Next arrow, please. When the Tzivas Hashem was instituted recently, careful consideration was given. The Rebbe says, I made sure to using a minimum of military trappings. Even though it's called an army, it doesn't have details like an army. And only such as could be consistent with the spirit of the Torah. And the Rebbe only allowed those aspects of Tzivas Hashem that are consistent with the Torah. I've never seen the pictures. Little kids had these little Tzivas Hashem caps. And they come to Keshav Roch and the Rebbe salutes them. You ever saw those pictures? The children salute the Rebbe and the Rebbe salutes the children. Look at the Rebbe's face. The Rebbe is not laughing. The Rebbe is saluting them. Like as if this is very serious. There's many pictures of the Rebbe saluting the children who used to wear those little Tzivas Hashem caps. And you look at the Rebbe's face, he's saluting them like a general. Because the Rebbe took Tzivas Hashem and its theme, which you'll see momentarily, very, very seriously. For example, spying missions, which you mentioned in your letter as one of your objections, was category excluded. Furthermore, the whole campaign is limited to children of pre-bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah age. The idea is that reaching that age become full-fledged Jews, and by then they will have the benefit of the experience and will realize that it served its purpose for them. Tzivas Hashem is for children, and it's not meant to be with a military spirit. Page 23. Okay, now the Rebbe, in this paragraph, the Rebbe tells you what he thinks of American Jews, and American people, and Western people of Bechlal, and what his concern is. This is incredibly significant. And if I was a little bit more of a liberal, I would say, hey, open up your hearts. Pay attention. As an educator, you know that children need activation. Activation means motivation. But that is only one aspect of the problem. The most important aspect, in my opinion, in this day and age, is the lack of Kabbalah Seyot. Not only of Malchus Shamayim, but also general submission to authority. Children tell their parents, gay fifen, from earlier and earlier ages. Children don't even bother telling their teachers, gay fifen. Including the authority of parents at home and of teachers in schools, and the authority of law and order in the streets. There remains only fear of punishment as a deterrent. But that fear has been reduced to a minimum because there has in recent years been what amounts to a breakdown of law enforcement. Right? Everyone is so nice to everybody. So somebody kills somebody else is because his mother was too mean to him, so you have to have rachmanis on him. And the Rebbe is saying, people don't know what it means. That you don't always do things because you want to, but because you have to. You don't only refrain from things, not do things because you don't want to do them, but because you're not allowed. Because there's no Kabbalah Seyot. We know exactly what that means because we are this. Everything we do, we have to feel. And the Rebbe says, it's not how a civilization works. You don't only do things that you feel like doing. And you don't only not do things because you don't feel like doing them. You do things because you have to. And you don't do things because you're not allowed to. Period. On the other hand, I'm reading on now. American children have been brought up on the spirit of independence and freedom and on the glorification of personal prowess and smartness. It has cultivated a sense of cockiness and self-assuredness to the extent that one who is bent on mischief or antisocial activity feels that one can outsmart a cop on the beat, even a judge on the bench, and in any event, there is little to fear in the way of punishment. We become out of control, that's what the Rebbe is saying. Look at the next arrows. Since I mentioned the root of the problem was the lack of Kabbalah Seyot, these are the Rebbe's words, this is the Lubavitcher Rebbe speaking now. I thought long and hard. How long is long and hard for the Rebbe? I thought long and hard about finding a way of introducing to an American boy to get used to the idea of subordination, that means bittel, to a higher authority. Despite all the influence to the contrary, in the school, in the street, and even at home, where parents, not wishing to be bothered by their children, have all too often abdicated their authority and left it to others to deal with truancy, juvenile delinquency, etc. He says, gotta find a way of reaching the children directly. Because the teachers aren't doing it, the parents aren't doing it, the government isn't doing it. Tell the children, Kabbalah Seyot is good. This is what the Rebbe is thinking. You have to understand, you know, the first year of the Tivas Hashem, there were on average 10 rallies a year. The Rebbe spoke to the kids almost every month. And when the Rebbe spoke to the kids, he didn't speak about Atzilus and Ein Sof. He spoke about not lying, not cheating, not making fun of other children, sharing. You watch those sikhs, listen to those sikhs. They're so incredibly down to earth. The Rebbe talked to children like a father or mother talks to a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old, and says, you have to be good. You have to be kind, and you have to forgive. I mean, the messages Rebbe gave the children in the early years of Tivas Hashem were simple messages of Bein Adam L'Chaveire and also Bein Adam L'Mokem, which were completely realistic. For the children, the Rebbe spoke to the children like an educator, not like a Rebbe. And the kids used to sit there and play around. I mean, some of the kids paid attention, but the Rebbe tried so hard to speak to the children himself. He didn't tell the teachers, tell the kids kach v'kach. The Rebbe spoke to the children directly. And he wanted to impress upon them the idea of an army. Next arrow, please. The idea itself is, of course, not a novel one. It has already been emphasized by the Rambam in the introduction to his commentary on Mishnayis, where he points out that although ideally good things should be done for their own sake, lishma, it is necessary to use inducements. That means to say, shalai lishma, with young children until they're old enough to know better. Thus, a pilot Tzivas Hashem was instituted. He made an experiment. I think it was Pesach Tovshin Mem, they called it the Matzah Bowl Contest. It immediately provided a great success in getting children to do good things and keeping with the matter of Yehav Terecha Kamoicha. In other words, the Rebbe said, I wanted to speak to the children directly. I sent out my people. They didn't go to their parents. They didn't go to their teachers. They met the children and spoke to them about doing things for Pesach. They were given rewards for it. And the Rebbe said he felt that you can get the children motivated. The Tzivas Hashem campaign was further rewarded. Next paragraph, though not widely applicable to Jewish truth in Hebrew schools. This too has already been alluded to by our sages, and the Rebbe goes on to say where we find in Torah the concept of Tzivas Hashem. Okay, enough. Girls, this is unbelievably important because we are these children. We don't have Kabbalah Seil. I want you to know when the Rebbe made the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Me'ach campaign, the Rebbe said the same thing. You don't come to a Goy and keep Sheva Mitzvahs because it'll make him feel good, because it'll give him a meaning for life. That's true. You come to a Goy and say, keep Sheva Mitzvahs because Ayere Ve'ezin Shemas V'chol Nasecha B'Seif Nechtam. All the Sikhs, every Sikha that I recall, that the Rebbe spoke to Goyim about Sheva Mitzvah, he said somebody is watching and he's writing things down in a book. And one day he's going to come to you and read that book to you and say, this is what you did. Yiras Shamayim, not Ahava, not do a mitzvah, you'll feel good. You have to do what's right. You're not allowed to do what's wrong. This was the idea of Tzivas Hashem. Give children a sense of army. Now on page 3 and 4, you have a sicha from Elul, where the Rebbe proposed to make a kinnis during Yemei HaSlichus, a kinnis during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and a kinnis Chalamayit Sukkos. And it was during the Chalamayit Sukkos sicha that the Rebbe introduced Tzivas Hashem. On page 6, there's a letter written to the children. You see it on page 6? So, Ala Yiddish Akida from Barbas Mitzvah Shamaleim Yichyu. It's that the Rebbe wrote on Chalamayit a letter, and the Rebbe, if you look at the last paragraph, which is down here where I made the arrow, the Rebbe introduces the name Tzivas Hashem. Kedei das alos azayim mit nochman asloch al lebedekai, to give it greater success. Is kedai zich far enikin divach hakem zich ofters tuzamaklad min ahakel agrupa Tzivas Hashem. Dem ebishtin zanmei. This letter was the point at which the Rebbe officially named it. The army of Hashem. And when the Rebbe spoke to the children, beginning on page 7, the Rebbe went through a series of points about how an army functions and how soldiers operate, and he spoke directly to the children about conforming to army order, army discipline. I don't know if you people know this, the Rebbe loved the concept of an army. The Rebbe Marash once stood by a window of a hotel and he watched soldiers doing maneuvers, and he muttered to a chassid next to him, "Havas ken chassidin nishzayin azoy." Soldiers do what they're told, and they're in lockstep. I mean, I can explain to you why Hasidim are not like soldiers. Because it's hard to be a soldier. A soldier in an army, his life is very simple. But the Rabbeim liked the idea of the discipline. They didn't like the killing of the army, the discipline, the responsibility, the sense of, you know, duty that an army gives. And the Rebbe speaks to the children. I'm going to do this as quickly as I can. We're going to start on page 8. Okay? The very, very bottom. Vastefar vert jeder yid, every Jew, onhebendik from God kleine, 9 now, kinder, very small children, ongeruf mit nomen Tzivas Hashem, they're in an army. As is the Eibishtin's armei, that the Eibishtin's army, the Eibishtin's soldiers, and afetzer, the Eibishtin's soldiers and officers, and so forth. Next arrow, please. Der far, therefore, is euch, der vorschlag, it is my proposal, v'gishnidin euch in brief, that is, I'm referring to the letter that the Rebbe had written, where he officially named Tzivas Hashem, as the all unions, these all groups, the Vereinigungen zwischen Kinder, the unions of children, was wellen sich zusammen climbing out call, should gather as a community, a Gruppe, skip the parenthesis, sollen sie angerufen werden mit Namen Tzivas Hashem. There is a mobilizing children directly. Keep the adults out of it. And they're called army. Turn to page 11. Okay? And the Rebbe goes through a series of points. This is the maiden sikh. This is the Shalom Aleichem sikh of the Rebbe to Tzivas Hashem. Here's how the Rebbe thinks about Tzivas Hashem. Point 1. Anheben der Fun, first of all, was an mei halt sich zum alle Menschen of them, the first principle of an army is, as jeder soldier, every soldier, weiß as an armei is nit kein Spielchen. An army is not a game. Und nit a sach, was man macht, das, ich weiß wie, we don't treat it casually, no, das ist ein ernstes Sache. It's a very, very serious thing. Next arrow, please. Al derach zeh is der Amei from the Meibish. I want the children to be serious about it. Davon die Tzivas Hashem wissen, they should understand, that this is nicht kein Spiel. It's not a game. But this is an ernstes Sache. It's a serious thing. Men geht zu an der Amei, was der Meibish hat aufgestellt. Hashem built this army. Und verlassen sich, and he trusts, on this army, Azivet Menetzeach Zemachemes Hashem, to win the Yebishter's wars. Next paragraph. Anarmei Hautzich Oich. The Rebbe continues. So if point one is armies are serious, point two is this. Armies survive on the following. As Bishas says, Kumt an order. There's a lot of English words in the Sikh. Apkud, a command, to the Anshitzavah, to the soldiers. As Medavton Agavis Zach, that something must be done. Frecht Nishkin Shilas. You don't ask any questions. Umbezuch Nishkin the time. You don't have any, look for reasons. Tzimim Fashtet Das, yeah. Other nish, whether you do or don't understand, is zum Alamesh, first of all, erfüllt men der order, you fulfill the order that you were given. Turn to page 12. Okay? And this is what the Rebbe said. You're going to tell the children, Nase before Nishma. The Rebbe says, you're in an army, number one, you get a command, you do it, no questions asked. Yud Aleph, please, the middle of page 12. At Zvetazach, was melein zechop von an armei, for mention, another thing we can learn from a human army, that I made from the Mevishim to teach us about the Eibishter's army. A soldier was gefinzich an armei, when you are in an army, when you belong to an army, kenit zog, and he cannot say, as a zevi er is a balabos of zich, I own myself, kenit zechfidim b'vim kumtez. When you accept to be in the army, you sacrifice your rights. You don't own yourself anymore. The army does. V'rabashas, he's in an armei, when you're in an army, ken zayin, it's possible. If you do what you want, differently than an entire army should operate, sheltered in sakana, the ganze armei, the ganze front, you risk everybody else. Last paragraph of page 12. A yid, a soldier in the Mevishim's army, a Jew, a soldier in Hashem's army. Ken Nitzogin is not allowed to say, Adibaldez, the balabos of zich, vil zechfidin, the imkum teis. If you belong to the Eibish's army, you have to do what you're commanded. Page 13. So the first thing is that it's serious, correct? The second thing is you do what you're told without reason. And the third thing is you can't say, I want to do something different. Page 13, another point. Next paragraph. Afilu b'shav ba'soldier v'ayisichos. If you get a command and you think, you help your army by disobeying orders, that he was told. I do something different, says Rebbe, that's no good. Okay, last paragraph on the page. The fact that he has a disagreement. By the hope that I made and his superiors for the field, is does their father, the reason for this is, the unfitting on the oishtelling from Ame. Right? A small soldier doesn't have the big picture. Only a general does. And if you as a small soldier disagree with the generals because you don't see what the general sees. And you've got to follow. In other words, in an army, there are thousands and thousands of people. Everybody has a small piece to the puzzle. It only works. Everybody does their job. You know the famous joke about this bus driver who was driving up 23rd Street in Manhattan, and in an hour he collects $50. So he drives down Fifth Avenue, and in an hour he collects $1,000, and he gets fired for it. He says, why'd you fire me? I raised so much money. He says, you were supposed to go down 23rd Street, not Fifth Avenue. Yeah, but it was so much more money. That's not your business. In an army, you do, because the big picture exists only by the general. We move on. Point, page 14. Udanach kumtzu noch aninyin, was is da dafke in der Mei von der Mebishn. How many points did we have so far? Number one, it's serious. Number two, you too, even if you don't understand. Number three, you don't have a right to do as you wish. Number four, you don't have the big picture. You have to do what you're told because you don't understand the whole thing. But now there is something which is only by the Eibishter's army. Page 14. Zokt menim as demamei from the Eibishter. When it comes to Hashem's army, is havaya nitzav olav. Hashem is upon us, umabit olav, and he's looking at us. In other words, the Eibishter is paying attention. So although the Rebbe brought three or four points that Tzivas Hashem is the same like an ordinary army, there are certain aspects of Tzivas Hashem that are different. What is at the heart of all of these things? That Ebbe wanted to teach children. You know, there's an order of the day. There's a commander in chief. These are the Rebbe's words. And the Rebbe's message is that a soldier gets an order from his commander in chief. He doesn't say why. He doesn't say I disagree. He doesn't say I have another plan. He does what he's told. A yid is in the Eibishter's army. He does what the Eibishter says, not because it feels good, because Azeah did Eibishter Gehesen. And the Eibishter is watching. Then at the bottom of the page, it was a second sicha, where the Rebbe spoke about the idea of honoring soldiers who excel. Right? Nochazach, that after you have a training session, and then you have a parade, and the Rebbe talks about the idea of rank. That in Tzivos Hashem, like in a regular army, if you fulfill your missions, you can grow in rank. The Rebbe's idea was that there should be a motivation for the children. But the motivation works like this. You do what you're told simply because you've been told. If you follow with discipline the instructions that you were given, you can raise yourself in rank. This girl's is, like I said to you, the maiden sikha of Tzivos Hashem, and it very clearly reveals the spirit that the Rebbe has with Tzivos Hashem, that children should be taught. In other words, little kid, you go into camp, you have Tzivos Hashem. Tzivos Hashem is about learning Mishnah's Baal Peh and all the other wonderful things, but in effect, Tzivos Hashem is the idea of children learning. When you're given an order, you have to do it. And to be very blunt, that aspect of Tzivos Hashem somehow didn't trickle down. The Rebbe wanted to teach the children Kabbalah Seil. That's the most important message. So if you are involved in the Tzivos Hashem chapter, this is what you want to inspire in the children. The general command you follow. There'll be reward. But the underlying issue is you have to do what the Eibishter says, whether you like it or not. Because Americans don't understand that. And the Rebbe feels that it's very, very important.